welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode, we're going to look at how to improve your transitions. Now, transitions are the glue that holds the dressage horse's performance together, and that's why every dressage test contains so many of them. Now, good transitions between the paces show the dressage judge that the horse is obedient, balanced, responsive, and working in harmony with his rider. So in this podcast episode, we're going to talk about how to improve your transitions and much more. But firstly, let's find out why transitions are so important in dressage. Well, transitions help in the following areas. So number one, improve balance. Number two, prepare the horse. Number three, obedience and responsiveness. Number four, throughness and suppleness. And number five, better dressage scores. So now let's take a look at each of those points individually. So first up is improvement of balance. Now, horses naturally tend to balance on the forehand, which can make downward transitions unbalanced and rough. But by using transitions in your schooling, you can shorten the horse's frame and engage his hind quarters so that his balance becomes more uphill and the transitions become smoother. So now let's move on to number two, which is to prepare the horse. Now, during dressage tests, transitions within the pace are often used to prepare the horse for a forthcoming movement. For example, in a third level test or a medium level test, the rider is asked to make a transition from medium walk to collected walk in preparation for a half walk pirouette followed by a transition to collected canter. Now, although that transition itself is not marked separately, it is integral to the success of the other elements of the movement. So this takes us on to number three, which is obedience and responsiveness. Now, transitions are extremely useful in keeping your horse tuned into your aids. So rather than riding around the arena endlessly in just one pace, including plenty of transitions within and between the gates help to keep the horse's attention and focus. So now let's look at number four, which is throughness and suppleness. So transitions are extremely useful in making the horse more supple through his back, because riding transitions on a circle in and out of the trot will bring the horse's balance back onto his hind quarters while maintaining the bend through his ribcage and keeping him connected to the rider's outside rein. The horse therefore becomes naturally more through and lighter in the contact. And lastly, number five, good transitions lead to better dressage scores. Now, all dressage tests, whatever the level, are packed with transitions. Now, many of those transitions are marked separately, so if you can perform smooth, balanced, obedient transitions, you'll get higher marks for each movement and in the collective marks too. So now we know why transitions are important, how do you go about riding good transitions? Well, an essential element of all transitions is the half-halt. The half-halt is a preparation aid that you use to warn your horse that something is about to happen. For example, a change of pace, a turn, or a circle. Now, when riding a half-halt in preparation for a transition and during the transition itself, you will use a non-giving rein aid. Now, the non-giving or containing rein aid does not pull back. Instead, you must maintain elasticity in the rein contact so that you don't block the precious energy that you have created with your legs. The non-giving rein aid is simply a momentary pressure applied to the contact to tell the horse to wait, and then the rein is released. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit more about how to ride this non-giving rein aid. So, use your hips and legs to push the horse forward into your non-giving contact. Now, the horse should yield to the hand, transferring the weight backward onto his hind legs. Now, the more advanced the horse is in his training, the lighter the non-giving rein aid has to be. Now, riding the non-giving rein aid correctly is all about timing, and it takes lots of practice to get it right. So here's an exercise that is helpful in teaching you how to get a feeling for the timing for the non-giving rein aid. So begin by riding the horse forward in an active medium walk. and then apply the canter aid. Now keep your contact fixed to prevent the horse from increasing the tempo of the walk and flattening his frame. Now your holding rein aid transfers the horse's weight backward so that the transition to canter is uphill. So the aim of this exercise is to use the non-giving rein aid to harness the energy that you have created and use it to propel the horse upward and forward rather than flat and onto his forehand throughout the transition. Okay, so now let's move on to talk about downward transitions. Now, a well-ridden downward transition shortens the horse's frame, makes him more engaged, and encourages him to take more weight onto his hind legs. Now, the haunches are lowered, making the horse's balance more uphill and lightening the forehand. So instead of falling in a heap, the horse transitions smoothly from one pace to another, maintaining his rhythm and balance. So here's how to ride a downward transition. So step number one, firstly, let's talk about using your seat and legs. So sit tall in the deepest part of the saddle and stretch your legs down and close them around the horse's barrel. Now that engages the horse's hindquarters and brings them more underneath him. Now this brings us on to step two, which is the use of your reins. So without pulling back on the reins, close your hands. Now that has the effect of restraining the horse's forehand, preventing him from moving forward from your leg. And then as the horse makes the downward transition, soften the rein and allow him to move forward again. So if you ride this correctly, how does a good downward transition feel? So a good downward transition should feel smooth, not bumpy and rough, and the horse should feel light in your hands. And rather than feeling as though you are falling off a cliff, the horse's shoulders should lift and you should feel as though you are both moving uphill. So now let's talk about some common problems with the downward transition. Now, problems in the downward transition generally occur because the rider doesn't use their seat and leg adequately or use them at all. Now, when that happens, the horse stiffens and straightens his hind legs instead of bending his joints, and that immediately tips the horse's balance onto his forehand, resulting in a rough transition that feels heavy in the rider's hand. Now, even though the transition is from a faster pace to a slower one, you still need to maintain plenty of activity in the hind quarters. However, if you overcook the driving aids, you can push the horse onto the forehand and leave him too reliant on your hands for balance. So as you can see, there's a fine line to perfect that balance between the driving aids and the restraining containing aids. Okay, so now let's talk about upward transitions. Now, when judging upward transitions, the judge is looking for obedience, responsiveness, and harmony. So the transition should be sharp but not rushed, the horse should maintain his frame, and the balance must be uphill. So here's how to ride a upward transition. So step number one, firstly, your legs and seat. So keeping a supple seat within the rhythm of the pace, increase the pressure of your legs slightly to encourage the horse to go forward. And then step number two, your reins. So the rein aids tell the horse that it's not time to go just yet, but as you feel the energy increase beneath you, ease your inside rein to allow the horse to make the upward transition with plenty of energy. But keep the outside rein contact to prevent the horse from falling through his outside shoulder as he makes the transition. Now note that the rhythm and tempo should remain the same throughout the transition. So if you ride this correctly, how does a good upward transition feel? So you should feel the horse's back lifting underneath you as he pushes himself forward with his hind legs, steps underneath his body, and his centre of gravity changes. Now the overall impression is that of a powerboat. So the prow of the boat rises and the stern powers the craft forward. So now let's talk about some problems that occur in upward transitions. So problems occur when the horse is not sufficiently engaged through the transition. Now a lack of engagement can cause the horse to push himself forward rather than carrying himself, and the whole impression is of a horse that's moving downhill. Now sometimes the horse may switch off and miss your aid for the upward transition, or the pace may lack impulsion or activity. Now, before making an upward transition, make sure that the pace you are riding in has plenty of energy and that your horse is paying attention to your aids. Now, young horses have a tendency to rush upward transitions, especially from trot to canter, so make sure that you have the rhythm well established and use half halts to prevent the tempo from increasing before you make the upward transition. Now, problems can occur if the rider tips forward, typically in the transition from trot to canter. Now, that immediately puts the horse out of balance onto his forehand so that the transition is either very unbalanced or doesn't happen at all. Now, before you ask for canter, sit up tall and keep your weight into your seat bones, ankles and heels with your lower leg firmly underneath you but without gripping. Now, also, if the upward transition is not good, the rider usually gets bounced around in the saddle as the horse loses rhythm and falls out of balance. The horse's back then becomes hollow, his head becomes high, and his weight shifts onto his forehand. Okay, so now let's move on to talk about exercises that will help you improve your transitions. So here are two useful exercises that you can use. So exercise number one is to use downward transitions to improve upward transitions. So in this exercise, your aim is to go from working trot to a good medium trot. Now, if your horse hasn't quite established medium trot, then instead your aim is going to be to ask for a few well-balanced lengthened strides. So, step number one, begin by riding a 20-meter circle in an active working trot on the right rein. Now, ride the circle between P and V, with your ultimate goal being to ride a few lengthened strides from V when you're ready to do so. Now, step number two, as you approach the wall at V, ride a downward transition to walk, and that should bring the horse's hindquarters more underneath him. And then step number three is to make an upward transition to trot while still staying on your circle. Step number four is to ride about four or five more trot walk trot transitions at V whilst again keeping on your circle. And then step number five is once you feel that your horse is responsive and once you feel as though them hindquarters are more underneath him, instead of riding a downward transition at V, you're going to ask for a few lengthened trot strides while still maintaining your circle. And then step number six, once the horse feels more engaged and in an uphill balance, you can ride the lengthened strides across the diagonal line to replicate what you will be asked to do in a test. Now, any time that your horse feels as though he is losing balance onto his forehand, then go back to riding trot-walk-trot transitions to re-establish the engagement. Okay, so exercise number two is to use Cavalletti. Now, using Cavalletti is a great way to develop more engagement in the transitions and encourage your horse to spring off the ground. So set the Cavalletti, or you can use slightly raised poles instead, and set them roughly 2 feet 7 inches apart on a 20 meter circle. So step number one is to ride the horse in an active working trot on the circle. And then step number two, on the approach to the poles, ride a half halt to shorten the trot strides, and a stride or two before you reach the poles, ride a transition to walk and walk over the Cavalletti. Step number three is once you've negotiated the poles, then you can ride another transition back into working trot. And step number four is to repeat the exercise. Now, once your horse is confident, you can begin to ride the exercise in working canter, trotting before the poles. Now, you'll need to alter the distance between the Cavalletti if you decide to do this, and you'll need to change it to roughly 4 feet 3 inches apart, depending on your horse's stride. Now, more advanced horses can be asked to perform canter-walk-canter transitions, walking through the poles and then picking up canter again. So to wrap this episode up, transitions are the building blocks of good dressage. And riding plenty of transitions from one pace to another and within the paces teaches the horse to listen to your half-halt aids, improves his responsiveness, engagement and balance, and also helps to make the horse more supple and better connected through his back. Now, when you're schooling, don't just think about practicing transitions to get better marks in dressage tests. Instead, think of riding many transitions every day to improve and develop your horse's overall way of going. Now, if you have any other questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant article on our website. Alternatively, you can join our training forum, which you can find at howtodressage.com/community. But to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, competitions, training diaries, and books, please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you tuning in today to listen to our podcast and hope that you've got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff available on our website howtodressage.com and pop by Amazon for our range of equestrian books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.